A Taylor TikTok take, an even bigger ByteDance story, market share, and more market share. Welcome to the Unlimited Supply Podcast, your daily music business TLDR in your ear, powered by skepticism about algorithms and brought to you by NoDisk, helping music technology and finance companies navigate the music industry. It's Monday, April 15th, 2024. Happy Tax Day. I'm Lars Murray. It's Monday, where we discuss what happened over the weekend and what we'll be watching this week. Some stories from Friday and the weekend. Taylor returns to TikTok is the top story. Obviously, it's the big story this weekend, and most likely it will be all week. Taylor's return to TikTok surfaces all kinds of issues, given that she's distributed by Universal and that she's a player with enough critical mass to sway a lot of decision-making on all sides. The truth is, she does what she wants, and she's earned the right to do just that. Tim Ingham's piece at Music Business Worldwide runs through Taylor's history of defending her right to be paid and contrasts it with this move. What makes it really complex is that this move single-handedly reduces UMG's leverage in their TikTok negotiation, and it separates her from other UMG artists who might not have so much say in the matter. No matter how this ends, the optics are a big win for TikTok, as it signals that even the most bulletproof artist in the universe isn't willing to drop an album without the viral boost it'll presumably get from TikTok. It's going to be interesting to see how other UMG artists react to this. Seems the first reaction is that they're not too happy that they have to sit out TikTok while Taylor gets a pass from UMG. Inside Universal, the corporate mothership that wants to hold a hard line is surely very disappointed, while on the other hand, the Republic Label Group, I mean Republic Core, which claims Taylor's market share and thus bears responsibility for it, has to be breathing a little sigh of relief that they won't be releasing an album with one hand tied behind their back. At a certain level, it's hard to argue, even at the corporate level, that putting market share on a Taylor release at risk by releasing it without TikTok support is a gamble worth taking. After all, that market share ultimately goes to Universal, and the streaming business is all about market share. It may be easy to put a dance on TikTok, but the bigger dance has a lot of complex moves. Which is a perfect scroll into the next big story of the week, ByteDance's earnings. But we'll get to that in a minute. First, Billboard's label frontline market share from Q1 came out Friday. Guess who's on top? Universal Music Group at 33% and change, and no doubt they want to stay there. Sony Music came in at 26 and change, and Warner came in around 17 on the strength of a surge from Warner Brothers Records, which is heating up lately, and went from 7th place to 3rd. The indies collectively come in around 23%. Dan Reese has the story at Billboard. This will be the last quarter in which the rising tide of pure market share is going to lift artists based not only on their own performance, but those of their label mates too, as Spotify's artist-centric payment model went into effect on April Fool's Day. The math is complex, and it's going to be really interesting to see what payments at the longer end of the major label tail start to look like when these artist-centric payments start to really affect royalty statements at the end of Q2. Remind me to check back in when that happens, although I'm sure I won't need a reminder. Okay, ByteDance time. It's possible that Taylor and or UMG and or Republic gave in to TikTok because of this massive ByteDance flex. The TikTok parent, based as we all know in China, reported 60% year-over-year growth. Now, ByteDance is more than just TikTok, but based on that huge growth hockey stick, certainly ByteDance and TikTok should have the resources to pay rights holders fairly. But when you're growing that fast, maybe your suppliers, the labels that is, take a look at it and say, eh, we'll make it up on volume. Would not be the first time. Also on Friday, the Korean management and investment firm Beyond Music announced that it had moved into the Latin space, acquiring the catalog of reggaeton giant Yandel, another sign that Korean music companies are now competing on a level field with US, UK, and European companies, and that global genre barriers are disappearing. This is no surprise to anybody who was in downtown Brooklyn this past weekend, where the Bad Bunny Army was congregated. Billboard has the story, but no reporting on how many rods Beyond had to fork over. A couple of quick hits. Peak Superfan rolls on as Rob Levine posted a piece in Billboard drawing the straight line between K-pop and deadhead culture. Yep. CAA appointed a slate of 9 managing directors. TLDR music folks, Rob Light was one, and also named a new slate of the so-called agency board of around 25 agents. Read the tea leaves at Billboard. We're catching up to Andrew O'Hagan's piece in The New Yorker that ran last week. Yep, we have a stack of New Yorkers we haven't read yet, too. Doesn't everybody? The piece is entitled, quote, Scooter Braun and the Twilight of the Music Manager, unquote. It doesn't go particularly deep on Scooter and mostly argues that they don't make managers like they used to, along the lines of Alan Klein, Colonel Tom Parker, Brian Epstein, and Peter Grant. If you don't recognize those names, you should definitely read this article. O'Hagan puts Scooter in that lineage. Now, they may or may not be making them like they used to, but most artists still need them, and as the power devolves from the label to the artists, managers will continue to accrue more power. It's possible that they aren't going to act like rogues and gangsters, because now that they have more power, it's not an essential job skill. Finally, everybody will be talking Coachella this week. Variety and Billboard are leading the way with wall-to-wall deep coverage, and Lindsay Parker over at Music Times insists that No Doubt must cement their reunion with a tour and more. But I'm not going to bring Coles to Newcastle today dissecting all that coverage. That's what socials and Reddit are for. Support for the Unlimited Supply podcast is provided by RoiFi. If you need an advance to take your career to the next level, RoiFi is mission-driven to give artists the independence they need. See if you're eligible for an advance at RoiFi, that's R-O-Y-F-I.com. Give Unlimited Supply a rating and a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts if you like what you hear, and tell a friend or three. And don't forget to smash that follow button wherever you get your podcasts. Visit UnlimitedSupplyPod.com for the links to what we discussed on the show, to tell us what you think about the show, to feed us info, to feed us lunch, and to tell us what we're missing out on. I'm Lars Murray, and remember, in this business, no conflict means no interest. Until tomorrow, thanks for listening.